From the First Midwest Bank State Street Studio on WMVP WSHE HD2 Chicago. This is ESPN 1000, home of the AL Central champs, the Chicago White Sox.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000, and now on FM at 100.3 HD2.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
Ladies and gentlemen.
All right, 312-332-3776. So, yeah, I just grouped some quarterbacks for no reason other than they're not Mahomes, and they're still considered young.
I'm trying to give you the anti-Matt Nagy answer, like just burping something out without putting a lot of thought into it.
It's a really good question. I'm taking Mahomes out of there for the, quote, young quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So Mahomes is out. And obviously Rodgers and Wilson and Brady are longer established quarterbacks, but guys who are just really getting going now in their career. And I think you can even narrow it down to four, maybe throw Lamar out of there. Like, Lamar is still really good, but I don't know if he's on the same level as Allen, Herbert, Kyler Murray, and Dak Prescott.
He's the only one with an MVP of that crew. But I know what you're saying. No, I know. Like, I mean, listen, every time somebody says, well, Lamar's got to be better here, and I think there is some valid criticism for all of these quarterbacks at time. He's the only one with an MVP on his mantle at home. And they've done a brilliant job bringing him along. For sure.
I mean,
and tailoring their system. Remember, like, that's such a funny conversation, too. Do you remember his rookie year? It was Joe Flacco was the quarterback that they played with, and they would put Lamar in occasionally, and by the end of the year, it was just like, we can't hold this kid back
anymore. Right, I think it was, what, week 11?
Something like that.
There were some people who were saying he's going to be a wide receiver.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? He wasn't like this. This guy who started 2 years in the playoffs Big Ten team.
My point is that there's an example of a team that took a talent and nurtured it and developed it and let it blossom on its own and tailored an entire offense to him. And they've been one of the better teams in the AFC ever since. That shows you what coaching and tailoring your offense to a certain player can actually provide and produce.
Josh Allen has blossomed, and he can run, and he can throw, and he's strong as hell. Justin Herbert completely looks the part and just is a baller.
If you, like I said to you,
he may just be scratching the surface.
If you take Kyler Murray and Josh Allen and Dak Prescott,
Kyler is so much fun to watch, and he continues to get better, and he can do crazy stuff on that football field. And Dak Prescott simply now is developed to the point where I believe he just does stuff to win football games and is great doing it. You know what I mean?
He's older. He has blossomed into one of the better quarterbacks in the league for sure.
A horrific injury.
Absolutely. This is why it's a really good question and hard for me just to burp out an answer because, you know, if I'm going to come to my ultimate conclusion, I just don't want to reach for one. Like, if you take the first 19 games of all of their careers, Justin Herbert's the best player of all of them. His accuracy, how he's handled things with less talent around him.
Keenan Allen.
I got Amari Cooper.
Austin Eckler.
I got Ezekiel Elliott over here. I got a lot of guys in Dallas. I got an offensive line that every one of them is
Hunter
good.
Henry last year. I think Justin Herbert has had some weapons. Mike Williams has barely been healthy. He's having a pretty good year this year up until, I think, yesterday at a...
When you factor in offensive line and skill players, I think you can make a case for everybody has a better group than Justin Herbert. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying it's one versus 32, but you can make a case for Justin Herbert's got the least really to work with of all of them. And I'm just saying Justin Herbert through 19 games has done more in 19 games than any of those guys did in their first 19 games. But at the end of the day, that doesn't mean that he's going to be the best player 10 years from now. You could make a case for Josh Allen. You could make a case for Kyler Murray, who was more mistake-prone when he was earlier. But he's learned from a lot of that stuff, and he's functioning very well from the pocket.
I haven't.
I'm probably still going to
Wow.
I'm sure, you know me being in the short guy club. Yeah. I love Kyler.
I know.
I'm going Kyler.
I'm not a tall guy, so I'm not in the tall guy club, but I would probably go with, based on what I've seen through 19 games, I think Justin Herbert's got a chance to be Dan Marino with a little better athleticism. Like, Justin Herbert has ran last year for 234 yards and 5 rushing touchdowns. Like, I think this would... Listen, we all live in the moment. Like, the 3 red zone touchdown passes last night were all beautiful, and the kid's only 19 games into his career.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Now again,
and
like,
that's what we hope in a few years from now, Justin Fields is in this conversation.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's like, in this young quarterback club.
I can't argue with your selection. That's what I'm saying. Like, there is no bad answer here. Like, if you say Dak Prescott, I can't argue with you there either. If you say Josh Allen... Josh Allen was probably the favorite to be, or the co-favorite with Patrick Mahomes, to be the MVP of the league this year. Like, these are all, this is why I think the league's in such good shape right now.
Yeah, it really is. Quarterbacks are good. Roscoe and Antioch, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Roscoe?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
I'm enjoying the conversation. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
All these other callers got it right. I think you guys are hitting on it. I love Nectarine, okay? And Nectarines have a very limited season. So you get to about June or so, and you know it's Nectarine season. You get all excited. The rest of the year sucks because there's no Nectarines. And then you get to June, and I'm like, oh, there's a Nectarine. You get that first Nectarine, you cut it open, and it's brown in the center.
Oof.
So that's the Bears for me. I'm at that point where the Bears are that first terrible Nectarine. You get all excited for the year, you get one, and then it's brown in the center. We all know what the problem is. It's not the decision-making of Nagy, even though it sucks. It's not Ryan Pace, even though we know he stinks, too.
But we're hungry.
The guys who are picking him.
We're hungry.
We're hungry. I love it.
And we're still going to eat that nasty Nectarine.
I just Googled it, too. What's the big difference between the peach and the Nectarine?
I think it's the fuzzy skin, which I don't like, but that's another conversation for another day.
I thought that the peach and the plum kind of fell off the same tree and rolled around on the ground together and produced the Nectarine.
Oh, really?
That's kind of always how I felt.
You just think the plum and the peach had a baby and it was the Nectarine.
Yeah, because the Nectarine has doesn't it have a texture more like the plum than the peach?
Yes,
right?
It's not fuzzy, like he said.
Right.
Yeah, the peach is fuzzy.
Yeah.
Get the peach fuzz.
Right. So I would suggest
to
you
that
maybe the plum and the peach got together and created the Nectarine.
Rob on the south side.
You know, all of them I'm taking home, throwing them in my sink and putting some soap on.
I know you are. Yeah. Hold on here one second. I hit the wrong button. It's been one of those days. Now, did I just do that?
Did I just
conference a couple of callers together?
Let everyone go. Yeah.
Rob, you're being conferenced in with line 4, who we don't know.
No idea
who's
who
on
it
line
is.
4. Who's on line 4? Who is this? Say your name.
Uh-oh.
Yellow. Hello, line 4. Do you want to talk to Rob? Hello. You dropped off. All right, Rob, the floor is yours.
Yeah, guys, I had a quick question about comparing Nagy to other coaches. Like, is there another coach who is either an offensive or defensive guru who doesn't have a hand on the other side of the ball, but also doesn't call plays for the side that he's good at, and he's successful? And then a second part to the question would be, if you had to pick right now a replacement for Nagy, you know, not in-house, outside, who would you guys like?
I would go with an offensive guy. I don't think you have to. Now, I'm going to get to people like, it doesn't matter. This is just what I would say. You could pick a defensive coach who hires a good offensive coordinator, and he'd be just fine. But I drafted Justin Fields, so I would like to entrust him to somebody that I think could
Here if he's good. That's the point of that. Like, I've heard Cap say he doesn't care. I don't care
either.
If he's great. You know
but
what I mean?
But you're giving me the choice.
Right. If you have your perfect environment, the coach has an offensive background. Therefore, if your offensive coordinator gets plucked, the overseer is always there. And nothing, the language doesn't change for him.
I like Brian Daboll as a play caller. I do like Greg Roman as a play caller.
Eric Bieniemy.
Eric Bieniemy is a play caller.
Would you consider Byron Leftwich?
Yeah. Of course. I'd consider them all. Kellen Moore has really, I think, started to blossom as a play caller and a game planner for the Cowboys. But that's where I would lean. Again, I don't think it's necessary for an offensive-minded guy to be your next head coach. But when you have this much invested in the most important player, I would probably find someone that I felt really comfortable in trusting that goal with.
And then, like I think, I know the question. I'm not blaming you or blaming anyone, really. I'm just saying when we're going for the coach, we're missing everything. We're missing why this happens, whether it's Matt Nagy, whether it's John Fox, whether it's Mark Trestman, whoever it is because we're not starting where it should. And we could pick who we think are the good coaching candidates, but we need to get the general manager out there, and sure, we need to hire an overseer of football operations to oversee that. And they say, well, why do we need that? Our top football guy is Ryan Pace. Here's a good example. If Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy are in cahoots about Justin Fields, and this is our plan, and this is our plan, and this is our plan, there's a football guy who doesn't have as much at stake in the day-to-day operations, but it's just there as checks and balances and to run it, he could sit down with them and say, look, guys, this may not make sense. And this is why we have to get. They have no one qualified in that building to go to Pace and say, why are we still going with Dalton? Ted Phillips isn't right for that conversation. George McCaskey isn't right for that conversation. And I want to bring a conspiracy theory to the table that a listener has brought up for you about your Ryan Pace take.
Okay.
I want to bring that to you next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie
on ESPN 1000.
Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Looking for the exact tweet so I don't misquote him. And then remember to tweet us your would-you-rather questions. Would-you-rather coming up at around 4:30, 4:45 after we talk to Barstool Big Cat.
And after the picture show outside, picture session.
Yeah, as we were mentioning that earlier, I don't know if we capably explained what's going on. SIU, if you're a Saluki alum, this whole week, SIU, my university, the university I love, they are taking over Chicago. They've had many events in Chicago. They're doing with the chancellor an ESPN game day type picture in front of our show.
Photo booth.
Right here.
Photo booth.
And then tonight at the Palmer House, they have a reception, which I am emceeing with the chancellor, our brand new chancellor of our university.
It's awesome.
Can't wait.
I think it's great that you give back to your school.
Yeah, well, look, they've given me. They've given me Waddle. That's what it's about.
Well, you also paid for the tuition.
I did, so, right. My parents did. I was very lucky that way.
This is a good mutual relationship, a mutually whatever relationship. Both sides are getting something out of it.
Barbara and Harvey worked very, very hard to send me to college. Very blue collar. My dad was an electrician. My mom's still a business manager of an office. I was the first Silverman to ever go to college. And it was very, very important.
We
for
have
them
that
to
in common
it.
As well. I'm the first Waddle to ever graduate from college.
Yeah, it's all.
My brother went for one semester at University of Cincinnati and decided it wasn't for him.
So you were the first to graduate then.
Yes.
Yes. So someone tweeted earlier and they said, because you said maybe Pace is still the boss.
He is.
Pace has to go to Nagy and say, what are you doing with Fields here?
Unless he feels like he has the same opinion.
Well, the tweet was, he hasn't heard anyone mention this. Could it be Pace forcing the plan on Nagy?
No.
It can't be Pace forcing the plan on Nagy.
No.
Pace didn't make the plan.
No.
He drafted him.
I don't think so.
No?
No.
How do you know?
I don't know.
Right. But you're guessing?
Yeah, I'm speculating, which is what we do here 2-6.
Right.
My speculation is no, this is the coach doing it.
This is the Mahomes plan. I was there with Mahomes.
Yeah.
I saw the way it worked.
Yeah.
We benched him.
Right.
We've got our Alex Smith, even though he's not Alex Smith, and
correct.
Andy Dalton.
That is right.
We have our Andy Reid, even though it's not me and it's not Bill Lazor.
Exactly.
Nothing could be farther from Kansas City here.
Correct.
We don't have the same quarterback who led the league in passer rating still being the starting quarterback on a winning winning playoff team.
Door number one.
We don't have a great
sabotage and intentional destruction. Door number two, I have incompetence. I'm going with door number two. So I don't think there's anything nefarious or devious going on right here. I think this is just, and it's out and it's in full view that the plan isn't a good plan and the process isn't a good process.
Tyler and Indy, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Tyler?
Hey, what's going on, boys?
You tell us.
So I heard on Crosstalk Unhinged you guys talking about gentlemen's clubs.
Yes, that did. It dropped today, by the way.
Yeah,
yes.
That was part of the discussion.
So download the ESPN Chicago app and listen to it after our show. Don't listen to it yet. Listen to it after our show. You can get Crosstalk Unhinged, Uncensored with Carmen and Yurko and with us. Yes, we were discussing that as we're going to Vegas.
Well, for you guys or any of your listeners in Vegas, there's a deal not too many people know about.
Oh, boy.
When you in the late 90s, were you guys by chance wrestling fans?
Not really. When I was growing up in the 80s, but okay.
Are we talking like Greco-Roman, or are we talking about WWE? What are we doing?
The WCW.
Okay.
Do you guys remember the name the Disco Inferno?
Hell yeah.
The Disco Inferno.
Okay. He works at Sapphire's Gentleman's Club in Vegas. The world's largest gentleman's club. This is a legit deal. Me and my wife did it when we went to Vegas.
Okay.
If you dial 702...
Write this down.
702... You're giving out a phone number here? 702, yeah.
869-0003. If you mention his name, they will send a limo to pick you up. They'll get you in for free. And they'll get you a free drink.
Now, this isn't going to some, weird phone number that you're, selling something, is it?
I am not calling.
You just have to give them a kidney. It's fine. Don't worry about it. You have two of them. What do you need two of them for?
It's a legit deal. Me and my wife did.
Okay.
You saved you, $100 or more.
Woke up in a nice bath with a big scar on your back.
So you, Tyler, you enjoy that with your wife. Your wife enjoys that to do it as a couple.
Crazy. To do what?
Hey,
go to the club.
The girl always has a better time at the strip club. That's a fact.
All right. I know that. All right.
Why is that, Tyler?
The dancers, they get more for their buck than guys do. Let's put it that way.
Okay.
Interesting. All right, Tyler, that's good. That's a good tip right there, I think. I don't know.
Just a tip.
I don't know if anyone has called that number and can confirm. So
I'm not calling that number. Your phone blows up if you call that number, right?
So are we calling for the wrestler to tell him to send us a limo?
Listen, anything we can do to save good karma brand money, I feel like we should do.
Listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to be at the pool Friday.
Yeah.
We're going to steal Dalla's phone. We're going to call that number and get him all set up for a good ride over there.
I thought he was giving us an 867-5309 number. The way he started, didn't he say 702-865, something like that? Louis, Virginia. I'm sorry, Dre in Denver. You're on ESPN 1000.
Follow
what's up,
that, Dre?
Yeah, you tried to top that one.
Yeah.
No, I wrote down a number. Matter of fact, I didn't get the whole number. I'm going to the podcast.
All right.
I'm going to the podcast. I'm going to the podcast to get that number, baby. No, I'm just kidding.
We're going to a party.
Did he say that? I think so. I
got
don't,
it.
Yeah, Dre, come on now.
Listen, Sylvie, you stole my thunder. This organization is horrible. If I know correctly, it's George, Teddy, Ryan, and Matt. There's no president of football operations. There's no director of player personnel, no director of scout. This organization is the antithesis of a mom-and-pop shop, and all these in a major market, and all these decisions is on Ryan Pace, and I think he matter of fact, George said, we want Ryan Pace to be like Tom Waddle and learn all his jobs and become a Tom Waddle. Who's never going to become a Tom Waddle? Tom Waddle is Tom Waddle. You know, he's not going to grow into become this great general manager and this great president of football operations. He's in above his head. He has no support, and he's throwing stuff up against the wall to see if it sticks. And every day, every game, we had a win. And I've never seen such it's just everybody seems miserable because they're afraid of what Matt Nagy is going to do because he doesn't have anybody checking him up there.
I just think it's a bad situation. Dre, let's say as a Bears fan, you're driving down the interstate and there are three cars pulled off to the side and there are three people who need a ride to the gas station, and one is Matt Nagy, another one is Ryan Pace, and the third is Ted Phillips. Who are you giving the lift to?
Hitting them is not an option.
I like Matt Nagy. I don't think he's a good coordinator. I think he's a good coach and probably a good motivator of men. But I'd probably kidnap Ted Phillips and try to tell him to hire other people, man.
Ryan
Pace, I have no confidence in
them
at all.
Here's what
I would
do.
All right, Dre, thanks.
I'd pick them all up and drive them to get their car fixed.
No, let's say you had
all your kids.
Just don't
want them to make any of my football decisions.
Let's say you had car in the front seat, you had a couple kids in the back, and you only had room for one. I wasn't going to include George because I know that's the easy out. He's the owner. He's a nice dude.
I'm probably picking up Ted because I've known him the longest, and he is the oldest, and the other guys have better survival skills probably. So probably I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to pick up Ted.
Better survival skills.
Right, yeah. Don't you have better survival skills if you're younger?
I don't know. Maybe you're older and you're wiser. And you understand
Listen, if something goes wrong on the side of the road and you need, for whatever reason, to survive, of the three, like, who is the first one that's tapping out?
So you're saying you leave Nagy and Pace there to collaborate and you give Ted a ride?
Yeah, because Ted's not going to be able to defend himself the way that the others may need to if they need to survive.
Look at you.
This is a human nature.
Yes. This isn't a football question.
No, it wasn't. This was a real life question.
Dean Downtown, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Dean?
Good evening. I can't tell you. It's been frustrating. I've been trying to get on your show the last couple of days, guys.
It's 3 o'clock, Dean.
I hear these people that are calling before me, and I'm so disgusted that I haven't been on before them. Because Downtown Dean brings so much to the table, fellas.
I think, Dean, me personally, I think you try too hard.
All right. Well, let's get past that. Let's move up. Let's move forward amicably, okay? Thank goodness that I don't have to listen to that blowhard Carmen DeFalco. Let's get that out of the way.
Stop it. See, Carmen's the best.
I was afraid I was either being censored and or blacklisted by Adam Abdallah, the great at. Both. Abdallah, assalamu alaikum, and shout out to the chosen one, Tyler Aki. I will get to my Bears point in a moment.
I doubt it.
In a moment? We got a break. Get to your stuff now.
All right. The baby-faced assassin is on the air. Let's get to it. Jared Goff, the only reason he's in the air in the league, fellas, is because he looks like me. He's a baby-faced assassin. Like, he's no good. Did you see him? He missed 8 throws the other day. Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled by the great dimwit who has no idea how stupid he is. Don't be fooled by Matt Nagy. Your Bears team is a trash bag of an organization. Now, listen, I have a life and a job, an actual job, so I must go now, but I am a P1er. Take that!
I love you, he was
scolding us about not knowing who Matt Nagy is. You said you're a P1. Have you not listened to the show for the last several weeks?
I don't even know. Dean's like the spinning plate guy. He tries to spin like a bunch of plates and they're all crashing.
Is he on a unicycle while he's doing it?
He is the Matt Nagy of callers. He circle talks.
Ouch.
I love Dean, but Dean is a circle talker, and he tries to bring too many bits. He's giving himself a nickname, the babyface assassin. He's going after Carmen. He's talking about Tyler Aki being the chosen one. He's giving a shout-out to Abdallah. What the hell's his point on
that?
I don't know, because I'm missing it all, because he's doing too many bits.
What's wrong with the shout-out?
I got to tell you, I actually was fairly impressed that he was able to keep a stream of thought going after you completely undressed him.
I like him, but he tries too hard. He really does. He's the Matt Nagy of phone callers.
You de-pantsed him, and he just kept going.
Let's get to Waddle's World coming up, and Barstool Big Cat at 4 o'clock.
Waddle and Sylvie.
Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app.
ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
This is Waddle's World.
And in Chicago, Tom Waddle. He can't run, he's not fast, but he gets open.
Bears legend.
Amazing.
9 career TDs in the NFL.
He caught everything that was thrown and took every hit that they could give him.
Tom Waddle.
Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained?
It's time to find out what's on Tom's mind.
Isn't that why you are here?
As we go inside Waddle's World.
Yes, welcome into Waddle's World. It's been a while since you visited. It's brought to you by our great partners at Wintrust Community Banks. They are Chicago's banks. Find your nearest Wintrust Community Bank. Visit wintrust.com/finest. Member FDIC. We're going to have to tally you off again, huh? Because there's two Salukis outside.
Yes, the mascots are here.
There's more than one?
Yeah. Yes. There's Gray Dog. I don't know what the other one's called.
Brown Dog?
Brown Dog.
Maybe. Yeah. It's a cool mascot.
You should have brought your kids today.
I've always wanted to be a mascot for one day.
Really?
I feel like you have a ticket to, like, just goof around.
Some days here on the station? Never mind. But really? You want to go out? I bet they'd let you put the outfit on.
How great is Benny the Bull? Like, Benny the Bull is... How cool is Benny?
Like, we've always talked about Benny getting in there and doing his thing. I think, look, they're doing picture show, too. I told you it was going to be a photo booth.
Yeah, right. It's
$10 a head?
4 o'clock here.
Raising money?
SIU alums. We're not charging anyone. Don't throw that out there.
I could.
You're going to start charging people?
We give the money, but we
give
the money to SIU.
$5.
Not keeping it.
We got a fun Vegas. $5.
Look, who's going to pay for a picture?
I'll pay for a picture. I'll donate.
You are very generous.
I donate right now. I got a $20 bill that says I get 4 pictures.
You're going to tuck it in the Saluki?
It's not how I do it.
Is that what you're doing? You're going to tuck a buck?
No, I wouldn't. I would hand...
He's got to practice for Vegas.
I would hand the mascot handler my $20 bill.
Oh, the handler.
Also practicing for Vegas.
Yeah. What's that number again?
What's that number? I called.
Did you?
It just rang and rang and rang.
He tweeted
The Undertaker. I know. It just rang and rang and rang.
The Undertaker told me to call. Who was it?
The Undertaker.
Who was it?
Disco Inferno.
Oh.
He tweeted us saying, just in case you don't believe me, here it is, promoting it on a podcast.
By the way, the Major League Baseball playoffs start tonight with the American League wild card game as the Red Sox host the Yankees. I've made a play. You've made a play. Did you know that Anthony Rizzo and Kyle Schwarber are leading off for their respective teams?
How about that? Then not only are we watching two former Cubs today play prominent roles in this huge wild card game, but the leadoff hitters on both teams are both former Cubs.
I'm told that Iaposi will be on hand as well because he doesn't have a job on the north side any longer because that's what happens to hitting coaches on the north
side. That's their playbook, is they blame the hitting coach.
Yes.
We couldn't hit because our hitting coach stunk.
How many hitting coaches is that for your team at this
3
point?
I want to say.
Wow. And I heard Jesse saying today that David Ross is going to get himself a contract extension as well.
Yeah. I still don't know if he's great or if he's good. I don't know.
Oh, careful. Yeah. Don't step on your tail. Don't step on your tail. Be careful out there.
Waddle's talking to the Salukis outside.
Well, did you
outside.
See the big dog almost went down?
Well, I don't know about that. You know what? We like a couple of
it wasn't alcohol related. It was he stepped on his tail. Anyway, so yes, we both have made wagers tonight on I didn't bet the game yet, but like you, I took Carmen's advice. I heard, what was the number, +1400, that both Rizzo and Schwarber will hit home runs.
Yes.
So it's a same game parlay. I went to my DraftKings site and went same game parlay, $5.
And there's a boost. There's like a 25% boost on same game parlays.
I could turn $5 into $75 if Rizzo and Schwarber both hit home runs.
Well, then I went individually because what I don't want happening is Schwarber leading off, hitting a home run, and me regretting that Rizzo didn't have one or vice versa.
I'm going to go back and do that.
So what I did is I went 10 a unit on Schwarber to hit a home run by himself, and I got him at
500 to +500,
something like that. And then I got Rizzo at $10 To hit a home run.
At plus 700?
And then I got $5 a half unit on both a parlay, same game parlay. That would win $5 to win 75.
Right. This is going to be an interesting game. I mean, listen, Gerrit Cole gets the ball for the Yankees, but he, if you look at his performances last three starts, not so good.
And if you remember, as Carmen pointed out, I think a listener brought this up, Gerrit Cole was the starting pitcher in 2015 when the Cubs beat the Pirates in the wild card, where Schwarber hit one in the river. That's where Schwarber, like, we knew Schwarber was good, but that playoff run with the home run in the wild card game, the one onto the scoreboard.
If he hits one to the river in Boston, that's like 4 miles. Right. So.
Now, Rizzo and Schwarber, I believe, recently have struggled in their postseason at-bats. I believe, you know, again, last year against the Marlins, the Colorado series, the Brewers game.
It's a new year.
But I still have fond memories of 15 and 16.
The Bears have made a trade. Did you know that? The Chicago Bears have acquired wide receiver / returner Jakeem Grant, pending a physical from the Dolphins in exchange for a future draft pick. I believe that is wasn't it listed as like a sixth round pick in 2023?
Right. I did see that. Now, look, I guess they do need a returner.
They've also waived receiver, his last name's Webster, and practice squad linebacker Rashad Smith, and have signed running back Artavis Pierce to the practice squad.
What I just don't love is that Ryan Pace continues to rob future drafts. Like, they don't have a first-round pick next year. Granted, it's a sixth-round pick, but that's where Pace does his work.
No, you're right.
Pace's best work is in the fourth, fifth, and sixth round. To me, they're not a returner away from winning a Super Bowl. So, like, what are you doing? I just feel like
they see their roster different in their year different than you. They look at themselves as contenders. They look at this kid Grant and say, second team All Pro last year, maybe the difference.
If you went and you had projects on other teams who are offensive linemen, and you wanted to say, hey, we really believe with development, we're going to give up a 6th-round pick for this guy. Let's do it. But what is this? This is what they spend on. They spend on Jimmy Graham. They spend on backup quarterbacks. They spend on Tariq Cohen, who is a third-string running back who they re-upped after his rookie deal. Now they're giving up a 6th-round pick for a returner. Let's get guys up front. Let's get building blocks for the future. We're not a returner away. I just feel like, again, you're just using future draft capital for what?
Standalone, this trade wouldn't bother me. The fact that they find themselves with fewer picks and bigger holes to fill because of previous mistakes, that's why these are all dominoes. These are all this is the domino effect. I think in a good organization that you were okay with the roster and okay with the direction of a lot of the things that they're doing, a 6th-round pick, which can be replenished by a compensatory pick, would not be looked at in the way, let's say, with the Ravens versus the Bears. All of these other decisions that lead to this one, the domino effect is you immediately have no faith in the decision.
Right. Like, Miami probably got rid of him because they said, look, the season isn't going as well. We re-upped him. We gave him a contract. He's a nice returner. But where are we going? We're still in the building stages. Where do you think the Bears should recognize that? Like, we're in building stages. We need to take lots of shots with an O-lineman and not spend on, like, these luxury items when you don't have a lot of the... Like, how many tight ends do they have, Waddle?
19.
Do you believe in any of them?
Not deeply. Not deeply. I don't have a deep belief in any of them. I think J.P. Holtz can fill a role as, like, a blocker.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. And I want them to use him.
Yeah, I'm I just did too. I saw him last week in the backfield.
Maybe I'm just down on everything now with them. I don't think it makes a ton of sense.
Jacksonville owner Shad Khan says Urban Meyer must regain our trust and respect after inexcusable conduct.
We have to talk about this.
I've addressed this matter with Urban. Specifics of our conversation will be held in confidence, Khan said in a statement. What I will say is his conduct last weekend was inexcusable. I appreciate Urban's remorse, which I believe is sincere. Now he must regain our trust and respect. That will require a personal commitment from Urban to everyone who supports, represents, or plays for our team. I am confident he will deliver. The part of this story that sits most awkwardly with me is he didn't go home with the team after the loss to the Bengals on that Thursday night.
You guys leave.
He went to Columbus to hang out with family.
Did he pull a Houdini and just disappear on them? Everyone's boarding the plane, and where's Urban? Oh, he just disappeared.
I mean, would you think it would be okay for a player to say, you know what, my grandparents are in town. They live in Dayton, so I'm just going to stay. Do you think that would be?
I don't know what protocol is on a Thursday game. So, like, sometimes they have the days off. I don't know if everyone has to return to the city on the team plane and then they disperse.
I mean, we had a player here literally go and open a restaurant.
That's what I said to Juan
during a practice.
And how did you feel about it?
I didn't love it. No, okay. But that was during a practice too.
Right.
But no, I don't think it's good precedent for the coach to say you fly home, I'm staying back. And especially, like you pointed out, not just the fact that, hey, I'm staying back with family. Like, should you really be staying back when you're 0-4?
That's my point.
Like, get to work.
Yeah. I just think all of it, like, Urban's got a history of telling everyone to stay committed, be involved, team guy. It's just the whole story. I don't know. Look, I said to you in the second preseason game where he had his hands on his knees and he looked like he wanted to be anywhere other than where he was at that time.
Well, his hands on his knees is better than where they were been. Before.
That's a good point.
Hey. You guys, real quick, you guys like golf?
I love golf.
You guys like golf?
Yeah.
I like it.
So the match is back.
Golf.
Bryson DeChambeau just posted onto his Instagram account a poster. Yep. A poster for the match, November 26th, Thanksgiving weekend. They're going to play 12 holes in Vegas.
12?
Well, the story is that Brooks Koepka gets bored after 12 holes.
Oh,
that's
nice.
Good. That's good marketing.
So they're playing into making fun of this.
Yeah, you don't need a full 18 anyway. I mean, those guys would probably be wrestling on the fifth tee box.
So do you think that they've patched it up to the point, like being on the Ryder Cup together? Remember they had a dinner to the point now where they can do the match and say, look, let's lean into this a little bit.
Yeah, and a couple of mildo per guy probably will help out as well. Soothe the pain.
Sure.
So, okay, when we come back, I've got some other nonsense and the nuttiest story of the day.
Chicago's home for sports is on Twitch. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Finally got a quote from the Arlington Heights mayor. Remember we tried to talk to him the other day or the last week or whenever it was? Didn't have anything to report.
It was the day that they announced it.
Yeah.
That morning, I emailed him and was like, hey, man, what's up?
He's been a friend of the program.
You got any news for us, bro, just in case? You want to break some news? And he was like, nope, I got nothing. And then, like, a few hours later, they announced it.
Well, he's now saying, we are not going to give away the store to land a Bears stadium deal.
Wink.
Is it a little late, too, for that?
Arlington Heights resident Keith Moen said he understands the excitement about the Bears possibly moving to the Village. He warned against committing any tax dollars before the community has a chance to weigh in on the proposal. Please don't show your hand so soon. It's like playing poker, Moen said. The Bears have plenty of ways to pay for their stadium without help of our little piggy bank. Then the mayor chimed in and said, we're not going to give away the store. We're going to take care of our residents. That's Thomas Hayes, who's a friend of the program. He said that at a Village board meeting last night where a handful of residents stopped in and shared their concerns about the Bears signing a purchase agreement for the now-shuttered Arlington International Racecourse. I sent you guys a text when that took place a couple of Sundays ago. I watched the last race on TVG because I knew that Arlington was closing for good.
Was it sad?
I'm not going to lie. Like, my wife and I used to go there when we first got married. We would take our daughter, Georgia. I don't think we took many of the older kids or the younger kids, but I can remember going there and hanging out and watching the races. And not only was it the races, they had so much for the kids to do. We'd lay a blanket out on one of those hills, and it was cool. It was fun.
Years ago, the original Arlington burnt down.
Right.
And they rebuilt it into this
glorious.
When it first opened, you're like, whoa, look at this thing. It was awesome. And yes, we would go, like, after school for a late Friday post.
Yeah. It was fun.
Yeah.
And so when I watched the final race, it was kind of, there was a little bit of sadness. I mean, it was part of, you know, our first kind of experience in Chicago. I got here in 89. I think, wasn't it built in 89?
You're probably about right.
So it was the first few years of...
Somewhere in there, yeah. We used to play, remember laser tag? There used to be a big, they called it Photon. We used to go there as kids, and we used to
play laser tag. Did you ever go... I've never been on a paintball.
Never done paintball.
I haven't either.
I'd like to.
Really? I think we should do one then, maybe.
It hurts.
That's what I was going to say.
You got to wear gear. You got
to, wear a cup, right? I didn't wear a cup to play sports. Yeah. I would definitely wear a cup to go to a paintball.
You don't want one of those paintballs getting to your other ones.
Yeah. Wear like a sweatshirt, a thick sweatshirt.
Yeah, you're fine, yeah.
Goggles?
You have to wear goggles.
You have to wear goggles, yeah.
But what do you got hit by? You got hit the cheek.
Some people have like full facial like cover things.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Okay. Mark Zuckerberg's personal wealth fell by $6 billion yesterday. Do you know that? You want to pass the hat for him?
He's $6 billion is still $6 billion. Yeah, isn't it?
He's down. He's worth now only $121.6 billion.
Wow!
Isn't it funny when you round $600 million? It's $121.6 billion, which is in a sense it's $121.6 billion.
Yes,
I rounded $600 million.
That's crazy.
Facebook dropped about 5% yesterday.
It's because of the outage, or was it dropping and then it went out?
No, I think it's more about the whistleblower that came out and basically has said that Facebook is no concern at all for human beings and people, allegedly, that they're just about the bottom line and they put things or allow things to be put out there that have a negative impact on youngsters. I'm just paraphrasing. Did I get that right? Did I get that close to right? Time for the nuttiest story of the day, brought to you by Screwball Peanut Butter Whiskey, A Night with Screwball.
And it's bound to get a little bit nutty.
This one is literally a nutty story. Squirrel hides 175 pounds of nuts in a Chevy Avalanche pickup while the owner was away.
That's like a prank, right? Where people would put a bunch of popcorn in someone's car.
Yeah.
The squirrel did this?
Squirrel did it. Fargo, North Dakota man returning from a four-day trip discovered a large cargo in his Chevrolet pickup, but not in the bed. Bill Fisher revealed on Facebook that a squirrel had stashed 175 pounds of black walnuts under the hood of his Avalanche in the engine bay. He says, I could only laugh at the situation as it occurred in the past. What, really? This year was a record. He said the nuts came from a nearby tree that produces a biannual harvest and that he's previously spotted a red squirrel making trips toward his truck, has tried to use deterrents, which did not work. Can I tell you this as well? I've got more nuts in my driveway than you could ever imagine.
Phrasing.
Acorns everywhere. Nuts in my driveway, in the yard. I got more nuts in my yard than I could ever describe to you accurately.
Waddle's having a nut fest.
You should probably gather them and place them into a receptacle. Maybe,
there's no chance. It would take. I could not gather them
maybe
all.
Maybe a tin sack.
It's like the sky.
A bag.
The sky opened up and dropped millions of nuts on my front lawn.
He gave up his nuts years ago. All right, coming up next, we talk to Barstool Big Cat. I owe him another apology. I'll make that apology next.